Meet Reed Lance Rosenthal, rancher, number one best-selling award-winning author, and unabashedly, unapologetically, on the right side of the outstanding issues of our generation. But don't try to fence him in. Sometimes his positions will surprise you, because Reed is definitely his own man, with his own opinions. You might love him, you might hate him, but you won't be able to stop listening. Step over to the right side with Reed.
Happy Saturday, folks. It's Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. About 3:15 a.m. in the morning on the very first day of September 2018. Can't even believe it's September already. Holy smokes. Wow. This year has gone quick. Do they go quicker as you get older? I mean, now that I'm 22 years old, they seem to really go fast. Yeah, in my dreams. In any event, I am in Idaho signing books. And all sorts of readers. We have tens of thousands of readers out in this neck of the woods, all of whom would like to lynch me because book four is not out. But I have a blog, by the way, for you readers who are also my radio listeners. And it's on our Facebook page, www.threadswest. Like I said, it's 3:15 in the morning. How about this? www.facebook.com/threadswest. That's the Facebook page. And if you go to the Facebook page, throw us a like, would you? Be a fan of Threads West along with 10,000-20,000 other people, fans and followers. Anyway, I did a little blog, kind of a post response on that page to some people who were inquiring about books 4 and 5. You should read it. It'll bring you up to speed. Also, you folks who are members of the Threads West posse, i.e. you get the newsletters, which are very infrequent. It is not a website that sends out a lot of stuff. The publishers, they send out when there's news, which is maybe 4 or 5 times a year, not much at all. But there's also a blog going out on that. You might even have it by today, which kind of mirrors the one on Facebook that will bring you up to speed on the books, which are rocking along, finally, I might add. You know, this morning, I mean, there's news all over the place. You know, China has kind of doubled their bomber training, their supersonic bomber training, by the way, with planes that are based on plans that they stole from us with their cyber thievery. And who knows? We found out that Hillary's emails were, in fact, taken off her illegal server, and read in real time by the Chinese government. Her server was hacked the whole time. In fact, the 33,000 emails she supposedly deleted, the Chinese have. What do you think of that? Which also means that they have any emails that came into her server, such as top secret, special access only, Obama writing under his pseudonym so he didn't have to admit they knew Hillary was breaking the law. This is a huge national security wreck. And in the same week, we learned that Dianne Feinstein, another progressive Democrat who's squawking about Trump collusion with Russia, etc., etc., was driven around for 20 years. Her chauffeur was a Chinese spy. She's the head of the Senate Intelligence Committee, or right now she's the ranking member, the second in command, but she was the head of the Senate Intelligence Committee for a number of those years. You know, and listen, I brought you the story of the Pakistanis who also hacked stuff. Let's face it, that went to Pakistan and went to China. Pakistan and China are quite close. As I've said many times, China is the real enemy, folks. But if you want to know who the real enemy of the United States is, it's the Democratic Party. Because it's not the Democratic Party, it is the Progressive Party. And Progressive, folks, stands for Communist. Now, some of you may be shaking your heads going, oh my, here he goes off on the right rail. Progressives are communists, period. They are also totalitarian. They are also fascists. You know, the left excels, and progressives excel particularly well, because they're all disciples of Saul Alinsky, including Hillary Clinton, who wrote her college thesis on the guy, extolling his virtues to high, you know, like celestial levels. Progressives are masters at accusing the opposition, that is, conservatives, Americans. How's that? Their opposition is Americans. But they excel at accusing their opposition of what they are doing. That is what they do. And this felonious and treasonous breach by Hillary of protocol, rules, documents she signed, edicts she sent out to her State Department, all the while breaking the law herself. Basically, they now believe that 18 to 20 really important, deep cover CIA agents, Chinese citizens reporting to the CIA in China, were exposed through Hillary's breach of the law, her blatant disregard for the security of America and you and your family, while she's calling you deplorables, I might add. While her boss, or should I say her co-conspirator, Barack Obama, is calling you bitter clingers. I mean, nobody's going to care about your security if they don't care about you, right? And they don't care about you at all. In fact, they really don't care about anybody. They don't care about the 500,000 Syrians who died because of Barack Obama's and Hillary Clinton's policies. They don't care about Omar Gaddafi's death, which Hillary engineered, that has now thrown that country into chaos with tens of thousands of people dead and or hurt, wounded, whatever. They don't care about their policies, which embolden and finance the Palestinians, which creates all sorts of turmoil in Jordan, in Egypt, in Palestine, in the Palestinian territories and in Israel. They don't care. They only care about ideology, and in the case of Hillary Clinton, money, which is why she had her private server. Look, folks, Benghazi, the Americans that died at Benghazi probably died at Benghazi because her emails were hacked. That is how the Arab terrorists, the Islamists, who killed Ambassador Stevens, the two former Navy SEALs, then CIA contractors, and the communications officer at the embassy extension, if you will, in Benghazi. That's probably how they knew he was there, right? Nobody's bringing that up, but that is absolutely the truth. Otherwise, how could they have known? How could they have known in time to stage a well-coordinated attack on both the consulate, where Stevens and the communications officer was killed, and later at the CIA annex, where the two Navy SEALs were killed, up on the roof, after 13 hours with no help sent by Hillary Clinton, Susan Rice, Ben Rhodes, or Barack Obama? Barack Obama, Barry Baby, much more concerned over his campaign appearance the next day in Las Vegas. We never have found out exactly what those people were doing that night. All we know is that Susan Rhodes couldn't decide to send in a rescue force because she just couldn't decide if they were going to wear American uniforms or civilian garb. I mean, it just makes your blood boil. And the Feinstein thing, and the Hillary Clinton thing, and the Chinese access thing, which was allowed, well, it was begun by Bill Clinton, allowed by Bush, and shall we say, promoted by Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. I mean, what they basically did was to embolden our deadliest enemy on the planet. Above Islam, radical Islam, way above China, Russia. China is our number one enemy on the planet. They have an economic power that is equal to ours. They have a military force which is not yet equal to ours, but with the theft of our planes and ships and all sorts of weapon system, and their ability, their head start because of Obama killing Star Wars, you know, Star Wars technology, space defense. You got to understand, our military operates on, I mean, 90% of it is satellite-based. You knock out satellites, you've basically crippled our military, not to mention our entire civilization here in the United States. You don't think the Chinese know this? You don't think that they have hacked and stolen the location, the plans, the whole nine yards for about every satellite we have up in the sky? and were allowed to do so by Barack Obama, just like he allowed the Russians, despite Devin Nunes, of all people, warning of Russian attempts to interfere with the elections in 2014. And Barack Obama absolutely knowing in early 2016 the Russians were playing games, and he did nothing. Zero. Instead, Hillary Clinton pays for a dossier from Russian KGB agents that she knows is dirt, they know is dirt, everybody knows is dirt, and then the deep state, appointed by Barack Obama and rooting for Hillary Clinton, because they're all progressives, global elitists, the deep state uses that information, and here we are in the current, you know, Mueller probe, being conducted, by the way, by a gentleman who himself should be investigated for many things, but number one, for Uranium One, which once again involved Barry and Hillary. I mean, this is a sorry, 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 stinky current of corruption. Current, hell, it's a tsunami of corruption, folks. A tsunami. And Americans and Chinese and Syrians and Yemenis and Israelis and Palestinians and who knows who else have died because of it. And these people don't care. And they don't care about you or your family. And this is going to lead into one of the things I'm going to talk about this morning, and that is, well, you need to get off your butt. You need to get other people off their butts. You need to get involved legislatively, and you need to vote. And you need to make sure that everybody you know, and everybody they know, and everybody that they know, again, five layers out, gets to the polls in November. This is a huge election. This is not a midterm election, folks. This election is almost, I mean, it's like just a smidgen less important than a presidential election. Because in a way, it is a presidential election. If the Democrats take control of the House, the Trump agenda is stalled. He will be able to do things only by executive order. He will face lawsuits all across the planet. The Mueller probe will continue. I'm going to give you a list of all the things that are at risk if you don't vote. That's right, it's on you. Each and every one of you listening to me and on me. It's on our shoulders to make this right. And the Democrats, the progressives, are going to throw everything they can, every lie in the book, every distortion of the truth, every, you know, their age-old attacks, the racist, the misogynist, the Islamophobic, the blah, 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 you know, us deplorables or all those nasty things. I mean, there's commentators on CNN, MSNBC, and some of the major ABC, NBC. I mean, they're calling baby boomers senile and senile, stupid, and selfish. That's all the baby boomers. You know, I mean, it's 40, 50 million people. And then, of course, there's the people who aren't baby boomers but support Trump or support conservative ideals. They're just deplorable. They're just fools. And you have Google and Microsoft and Twitter and a host of other social media and tech giants throwing their hat in the ring by censoring conservatives, changing algorithms, promoting liberal concepts and ideas. And where do you think these folks are getting their money? Well, I'll tell you what, you track the money, and I'm going to be talking more about this either next week or the week after. I'm doing some research, and it's coming from George Soros operations, who is the most frequent visitor of any person to the Obama White House. 83 times George Soros went to the Obama White House that we know of. That's on the logs. Who knows how many times he actually went? And who gave tens of millions of dollars in dark money to the Hillary Clinton deal, including part of the $84 million in illegal campaign contributions that she managed to squirrel around through the Democratic state committees. I've given you that show. I'm not going to go over it again this morning. In the search bar, type Democratic National Committee. Type Hillary Clinton campaign funds and see what comes up and listen to those shows. And has she been indicted for any of these two dozen major federal felonies, including breach of the Espionage Act, breach of federal election laws and statutes? Nope. In fact, has anybody, Stroke, Hillary, Obama, Rhodes, Rice, Powers, Baker, Comey, Mueller, has anybody been indicted, folks? Nope. Not a single person. In fact, I'm not even sure they've been investigated. And they sure as hell haven't been prosecuted. In the meantime, on the other side, people are getting prosecuted for quote-unquote lying to the FBI, like in the case of General Flynn. When the FBI agents who conducted the interview, ironically, one of them being Stroke, said he didn't lie. The whole thing stinks to high heaven. Like I said, it's a tsunami of corruption. It needs to be cleaned out. And I'm going to tie that back into a segment that I'm going to do on what you have at risk if you, all your friends' friends, and their friends' friends don't go out and vote. You need to engage. I have said this a million times. This is the end battle for the soul of this republic. This election, the next one, and the next one, and the next one. You need conservative governance at the helm of the cesspool that is Washington, D.C. for a good 10 years to make sure these policies are in, to make sure they are codified. They're not just executive orders that can be undone. And to make sure that the deep state and the shadow government is weeded out. People who committed felonies prosecuted like any other American would be, equality under the law. And for this government to be kind of torn down and then put back together as a lesser, more nimble government, a far less regulatory government, and a far less biased, lopsided, constitution-trampling government. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Convention of States. I got a couple of corrections I want to make on the segment I did last week. In terms of the several amendments that they want to get done to the Constitution. I had the good fortune to talk to one of the higher-ups in the Wyoming Convention of States delegation, and she corrected a few things that I had in that show, and I really appreciate it. I'm going to pass them on to you. By the way, along those lines, underneath the audio search bar, there should be, the producers should be posting the contact information for Convention of States, how to email them, how to sign up on the petition, how to get involved. And we'll talk a little bit about that this morning, too. And then we're going to talk about voter fraud. Because voter fraud, the Democrats, not only are they going to do their personal attack game, not only are they going to dodge and weave when it comes to their true intent, not only are they going to lie through their teeth over what they really believe, and try and portray themselves as centrists, which they are not. But they're going to try and steal elections, folks. I mean, Barack Obama, if you remember a year and a half ago, basically said, yeah, well, you know, if you're illegal, it's not hard to register to vote. You ought to go down and do it. I'm paraphrasing, but that's exactly what he said. He actually exhorted illegal aliens to register and vote. Of course, that doesn't surprise me from Barack Obama, who is a alt-left Islamist, anti-American, Manchurian candidate president. Doesn't surprise me about him at all. Guy's poison. Poison to the foundation of America. And he's glad of it, folks. He is glad of it. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Kavanaugh nomination. A lot of, you know, from what I'm hearing from the conservative news outlets and just kind of scuttlebutt on the street and in the circles I move in, everybody assumes Kavanaugh is kind of a done deal. Well, Kavanaugh is not a done deal. And his confirmation is key to turning this court into a 5-4 true conservative majority, which it has not been for decades. It also paves the way for yet another Supreme Court nominee by Trump, which would make it a 6-3 conservative court. And, depending upon Ruth Bader Ginsburg's health between now and 2024, assuming Trump is reelected in 2020, it could turn it into a 7-2 conservative court. That's a really big deal. And you know what? The left understands what a big deal it is. Because it would be the ultimate firewall against whatever they could do legislatively, whatever they could do in terms of elections, in terms of all sorts of stuff. It is a big deal. They're pulling out the gun. Soros is spending tens of millions of dollars to finance anti-Kavanaugh campaigns. I'm going to tell you a little bit about what their strategy is, and I'm going to give you an example of where they successfully employed this strategy against a nominee for a Circuit Court of Appeals nomination that Trump did by the name of Bounds. And they're following the same game plan with one additional caveat on Kavanaugh. I'm going to explain that to you this morning, too. So as you can see, this show is not really about the, well, it's all current news, but it's not about all the stories that everybody's talking about in all the news media outlets, you know, this and that and what Kanye said and whatever nonsense is going on. I mean, it just makes you want to puke. Sean Hannity is right. The media is dead in the United States. And let me tell you that a free press that fairly reports is the greatest asset of a republic. And our founders knew that, which, of course, is why the freedom of the press was guaranteed in the amendments in the Bill of Rights. But a press like we have now, which is just transparently biased, that lies about news and actually makes up news, that refuses to retract false stories, such as, I'm going to give you one example. So Lonnie Davis, who's representing Cohen, Trump, one of Trump's attorneys in the past, he called CNN anonymously, or should we say secretly, confidentially, you know, and said, you can't use my name, but Cohen's going to testify to Mueller that Trump knew all about the payment to Stormy Daniels, the $130,000 payment. Well, look, first of all, everybody's getting ahead of themselves because whether he knew or not, it's not illegal to pay Stormy Daniels, period. I mean, you know, everybody's trying to make it an illegality. It's not illegal. When Barack Obama was caught by the Federal Election Commission taking millions of dollars in foreign donations and illegal donations domestically, he got a slap on the wrist. There was like one sentence in one paper somewhere in America. And his campaign, not even him, his campaign paid a $384,000 fine. Google it up. You lefties who are listening that just love to hate me, you're going, that never happened. He's making that stuff. Google it up, folks. It's really easy. Google's your friend, particularly if you're on the left. They're really your friend. And now we have Trump, who committed no campaign violation, even if he knew, and even if Cohen borrowed against Cohen's house to pay her $130,000. It is not a breach of the law. Hillary Clinton, who got $84 million in illegal campaign contributions through laundering money through the state DNC parties to the national level, and then controlled the money, not the DNC, but she controlled the money, another illegality, as Donna Brazile, acting chairman of the DNC, wrote in her book. I mean, this is like from the horse's mouth. And she hasn't even paid a fine. I mean, nobody's even done anything. But Trump's payment to a gal, for whatever reason, you know, maybe he slept with her, maybe he died. You know what? I don't care. I only care about Trump's policies. Because his policies work. And his policies are conservative. The bottom line of all this is that we obviously have a two-tiered justice system. And we have a myopic, biased, and false reporting, fake news press. And that, folks, is the greatest enemy of a republic. The press occupies this unique position. It can be the greatest ally of a thriving republic, a representative republic, which is what we are. We are not a democracy. Or it can be its deadliest enemy. And right now, the media is, in fact, the republic's almost deadliest enemy. The deadliest enemy is the deep state. I'm talking about domestically. The deadliest enemy internationally is China. In any event, we're going to talk about that tonight. Because that is all on the line, too. If you go to the politics section in the articles posting on the website, you will see a whole bunch of things. There are 4X matching campaign contributions, 5X matching campaign contributions. There's 10 really good, really conservative congresspeople either running or wanting to run for office. And they're all outlined. You know, I had some coffee before I started this show. I don't know whether I breathed it in or coughed it up or whatever. But go to the politics section. And you know what? Send 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 bucks. Particularly on the 4X and 5X matches. Your 50 bucks is worth 300 bucks. Your 10 bucks is worth 60 bucks. Do it. And pay particular attention to the most conservative candidate that can win. It's why I'm posting certain candidates and posting certain PACs. Secondly, call your legislature and urge them to pass a resolution calling for the Convention of States, the Article 5 Convention. It's provided for in the Constitution. Either this show, not this show, but either the next show or the show thereafter, I'm going to actually go into that in detail. I'm going to do an interview with Joe Steffens, the Nebraska State Director of the convention group. And I do want to correct two things that I told you last week. Number one, I told you that it takes 50% of the states to convene the convention. It was pointed out to me I was incorrect. It takes 34 states, it takes two-thirds of the states to convene a convention. And the second thing is, I called it a constitutional convention. I was told that it is not a constitutional convention. A misnomer is an Article 5 convention, meeting of the states, and it has to do only with amendments to the Constitution. Not a rewriting of the Constitution, which is what a constitutional convention would kind of convey, and which the enemies of a convention of states try and use to scare people into not supporting the convening of a convention. So with those two corrections, let me again urge you to get involved in that. Now, let's. I have a little story to tell you too, but I think I'm going to wait till kind of the end of the show to tell you that. How's that? Rather than up front, it will be at the back end. Okay. So, you don't think election fraud... By the way, also read the articles under voter fraud this week. They'll scare you. And it's something that I've been saying for a long time. Voter fraud is rampant in the United States. Voting by illegal aliens is rampant in the United States. The Democrats cheating by having dead people, dogs, people who supposedly live on vacant lots, you know, there isn't a structure there. People who vote in multiple districts, multiple states. That's what the Democrats do. And you know, if they could get in and tamper with voting machines, they would. And if you don't think you can tamper, I have long said that there should be no digital ballot casting whatsoever. Every digital voting machine, one of the companies supplying digital voting machines, by the way, to, I believe, if memory serves, I did a whole show on this. Just type in voter fraud in the search bar, you'll find the show. Is actually owned and funded by George Soros. And George Soros, folks, is no friend of democracy. He's no friend of a republic. He's no friend of America, and he's certainly no friend of you and I. He is a friend with Barry and Hillary and the rest of the alt-left global elitists. That is who he is. He's also the biggest financier of left-wing, and by left-wing, alt-left-wing organizations in the world. He has destabilized governments, including the British government and the British pound back in the 90s. Of course, he made $1 billion where everybody else suffered. He's been banned in certain European countries, including in Hungary. I mean, that's how vicious, vitriolic, and evilly insidious is this man and his organizations. So, I have long said, get rid of all digital voting machines. You know what? The ballots in these voting machines can be changed. They absolutely can. I'm about to tell you some scary facts relative to these digital voting machines. We should go back to paper. Might take longer to count. Might require, I don't know, more money or not. You know, perhaps more people, more time, so what? Then you have a record. There's no confusion. I mean, even with paper, you can have confusion. Remember the hanging chads down in Florida in the year 2000? But with digital machines, you can have somebody wreak havoc with an election and never know. That's a scary deal. A really scary deal. So, there is this organization, and they have an annual event, which is like the world's largest hacking symposium. It's called DEFCON 26, and a few months ago, their convention was held in Las Vegas, and they had replicas that were actually more difficult to hack into than the state systems of a number of states, and they had a contest for children. We're talking about kids 12 and under to see if they could hack into those systems, number one. Number two, to see if they could hack into individual voting machines. And number three, to see if they could change votes. Here's what they found. An 11-year-old boy managed to hack into a replica of the Florida state election website and change voting results in less than 10 minutes. 10 minutes. 30 children that attended this event were able to hack similar replica websites, various states, in under a half an hour. And there's one 11-year-old girl who completed the job in 15 minutes. DEFCON set all these up in what they called a DEFCON voting machine hacking village. And kids as young as 8 years old could take their turn at trying to hack into an exact replica of a certain state's voting system and voting machines. There's a guy by the name of Nico Sell, S-E-L-L. He's a co-founder of Asylum, which is one of the participants in this DEFCON deal. And let me give you a quote. These are very, very accurate replicas of all the sites. These things should not be easy enough for an 8-year-old kid to hack within 30 minutes. It's negligent for us as a society. Sell told the reporters that at a similar symposium last year, they had adults try it. And there were actually adults that hacked into these state replica systems and voting machines and changed votes in under 5 minutes. Under 5 minutes. And it gets worse than that. There is, they brought this, all these studies, the actual results of the hacking, the whole nine yards, they brought to the National Association of the Secretaries of States. In other words, the 50 Secretaries of State of the 50 states were made aware of this through their association. And, typical government BS. They basically said, no, that can't happen. I don't believe that. Let me read this to you. It would be extreme. This is from the National Association of the Secretaries of States of the United States. Quote, it would be extremely difficult to replicate these systems since many states utilize unique networks and custom-built databases with new and updated security protocols. While it is undeniable websites are vulnerable to hackers, election night reporting websites are only used to publish preliminary, unofficial results for the public and the media. These sites are not connected to vote counting equipment and could never change actual election results. Unquote. Really? So, I mean, how stupid do you think we are, folks? Wow. Basically, what the government is telling us, these 50 state governments, despite this incontrovertible evidence at last year's DEF CON symposium, and this year's, last year being adults, this year being kids, the secretaries of state are telling us that they will still be able to obtain the actual results, the actual votes that you voted. If you voted Republican, your actual vote. If you voted Democrat, your actual vote. And that if these hackers manage to get into a website, the election website, that it doesn't matter because they still have the official tally. They don't even address what this symposium was about, which is hacking into the actual voting machines and the system that tabulates the votes and sends the votes back to the website. Wow. This is this is what one of the founders of the symposium, DEF CON 26, said after that statement came out. Quote, to me, that statement says that the secretaries of states are not taking this seriously. Although it's not the real voting results, it's the results that get released to the public. And even that could cause complete chaos. The site may be a replica, but the vulnerabilities that these kids were exploiting were not replicas. They're the real thing. I think the general public does not understand how large a threat this is and how serious the situation that we're in right now with our democracy. There's a professor at the University of Pennsylvania. He was one of the organizers, by the way, of the Hacking Village. His name is Matt Blaze. He said, I quote, these replica websites were actually designed to be more difficult to hack into than the official government sites. He gives you a lot of faith, doesn't it, folks? It's not surprising that these precarious, bright kids would be able to do it because the websites that are on the internet are vulnerable. We know they are vulnerable. What was interesting is just how utterly quickly they were able to do it, unquote. The hackers, folks, could actually break into actual voting machines, as was demonstrated during this DEF CON 26 convention. And they could manipulate the voting machines. In fact, this goes back to a study by the Argonne National Laboratory in Illinois, who uncovered this problem in 2012. I'm sure Barry didn't want to change it because we know how the votes would be changed for Barry. In that study, there were two researchers, top-of-the-line folks, and they were able to demonstrate a number of different ways that voting machines could be hacked. Here's what they used to hack the voting machines and change people's votes, folks. $1.29, that's 1.29, $1.29 microprocessor, an $8 circuit board, and a $15 remote control. Total cost to hack into a voting machine and change votes, was $24.39. Quote, when the voter hits the Vote Now button to register his votes, we can blank the screen and then go back and vote differently, and the voter will be unaware that this has happened. Spend an extra $4 and get a better lock. You don't have to have state-of-the-art security, but you can do some things where it takes at least a little bit of skill to get in. Unquote. Anyway, there's another top expert. And when he was talking to the press, his name, by the way, is Johnson. Quote, I've been to high school science fairs where the kids had more sophisticated microprocessor projects than these voting machines. How does that make you feel? Make you feel good? One of the things we really have to get done in this country is to ban all digital voting. When you vote, you go down, you show your ID, you're on a voter roll that's been purged of dead people, dogs, vacant lots, illegal aliens, people voting twice, yada, yada, yada. And people have been dead for 142 years. By the way, all those examples I just gave you are absolute true examples. One of these upcoming shows, maybe prior to the election, I'll spend just about the whole show giving you example after example after example after example after example. It will scare the bejesus out of you. Flat guarantee you. Another article came out this week along these same lines. Quote, it's from Liberty Headlines. One thing is clear, aliens are getting on the rolls, aliens are voting, and in sanctuary jurisdictions, they aren't being prosecuted for doing so. So, there was a study that was done by PILF, and PILF is the Public Interest Legal Foundation. By a guy by the name of Christian, you may have seen him on TV. He was a former DOJ, anti-voting fraud, kind of deputy attorney general, and got disgusted sometime during Holder's reign of terror and Obama's reign of terror when Al started his own company. And he focuses on voter fraud. That is his specialty. He's uncovered more than 3,100 non-sitters registered to vote in 13 sanctuary cities over the past decade. That's all he's discovered, folks. If you interpolate that out over the voting populations of these cities, we're talking tens of thousands, maybe, heaven forbid, hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens that are registered to vote and are voting in our elections. Terrific, isn't it? Great. Just this last week, there were 19 illegal aliens charged with voting in North Carolina in the 2016 presidential election. Now, we've all seen many examples of elections here over the last several years, which, you know, literally, there could be a million or 2 million votes cast, and they're decided by 1,000 or 2,000 votes. So this could actually have the difference on an election. You could actually have an illegitimate representative or senator or whatever, because the 1,000 or 2,000 or 5,000, the small margin by which that candidate won, was all by non-citizens who can't legally vote, but voted anyway. And as you know, the left loves it. They love the cheating. They love illegal aliens. The more illegal aliens, the bigger their voting base. I mean, this is what immigration's all about in the final analysis. And these illegal aliens who vote, the left applauds. And they certainly don't prosecute, particularly in any blue area or any sanctuary city. The PILF study is called Safe Spaces. You might want to Google it up. You can read the whole study. It's pretty fascinating. Just put in Public Interest Legal Foundation Safe Spaces Study. It should come up for you. Here's one of the conclusions from the report. Quote, one thing is clear. Aliens are getting on the rolls. Aliens are voting. And in sanctuary jurisdictions, they aren't being prosecuted for doing so. PLIF gave certain examples, just some examples. Los Angeles and Alameda counties in California. Those two counties refused to hand over to the Federal Election Commission any of their voting data. Kind of makes you suspect, don't you think? And then we have, once again from the PLIF study, Fairfax County, Virginia. One county, 1,334 non-citizens, illegal aliens, were on the voter rolls. 5,500 non-citizens had been registered to vote statewide in Virginia during the prior decade. 852 of them actually cast votes. That's almost 2,000 votes, folks. That's what we know of. That is enough to swing a very close election, even with a million plus or minus votes. In Pennsylvania, 100,000, and I brought you this story before, just type in voter fraud in the search bar, 100,000 illegal aliens were registered to vote in Philadelphia. 100,000 illegal aliens. The whole thing is that the integrity of our election system is, number one, not great. It's highly vulnerable to digital attack. And number two, it's not great because all of our systems, if you will, that are in place around the country right now are extremely vulnerable to hacking. You get a combination of illegal aliens, dead people, people who supposedly live on vacant land lots, all that kind of stuff. People who are registered in more than one county, more than one state, more than one district, whatever it happens to be. When you get the combination of a whole bunch of people voting who should not be voting, a whole bunch of people voting for as people who no longer exist, and a whole bunch of people that simply want to break the rules, the outcome of an election can be in doubt. Even a big one like Donald Trump 2020, for instance. 100,000 illegal aliens voting in Philadelphia, I guarantee you, makes the difference for the whole election. You know, that particular election. So, New Jersey has also been identified as having significant irregularities. And by the way, the guy's name is Christian Adams. Christian Adams. Feel free to Google him up. There's voter intimidation, by the way. You remember the case with the two Black Panthers standing around kind of with bats in their hands at this polling place? Either chasing away prospective voters or making voters so uncomfortable they just didn't get out of the car and go to the voting station. Do you remember that? And then Eric Holder basically let him off the hook. Well, it's the left at work, folks. The left does not work in mysterious or strange ways. The left works with a demented alt-left purpose and will stop at nothing to get something done. Zero. They are all about results. So, when you take all this information, I mean, I realize there's a bunch of things, you know, that we need to get involved in, a bunch of things you need to push. There's one other example here that I just got to give it to you. They did a test to see if they could, I'm not making this up, register one of their goldfish to vote. And they obtained, I'm not kidding you now, they obtained an absentee ballot. And that ballot was mailed to a dead goldfish named Princess Noodleman. This all happened in Illinois. And of course, if that ballot had been returned, it would have been counted. The bottom line of all this is that you need to be extra alert, extra vigilant, and I'm going to go back to what I've been beating the drums on here for weeks. You need to get out and vote. Every member of your family needs to get out and vote. Every friend of every member of your family, and then their friends, and then their friends, need... See, everybody needs to be aware. How's that? And I'm not saying that you should be petrified that, you know, the election's going to be won, lost, stolen, although some will. But everybody needs to be aware of what's going on out there. You need to keep your eyes open at the polling place just like you do anywhere else. Now, you know, in rural towns, I can tell you, this is actually getting into my story, but I can tell you that in rural towns, everybody knows you. I mean, they know who you are. In my case, they may read my books even. And it's very informal, but the rules are followed. You got to show your driver's license or some other form of ID, even though these people know you, they're your neighbors. And they go by the book. Anyway, I'll get into that when I tell you my little story here. One of the things that Christian recommends, by the way, the PILF, is that there'll be a public awareness campaign that if you're an illegal alien, you register to vote, your butt's on the line. You're going to be tracked down, you're going to be found, you're going to be prosecuted, you're going to be deported. He also highly recommends some form of picture ID for everybody. Official ID. Not, you know, made up, counterfeit stuff that they allow out in California. And he recommends beefing up the enforcement and prosecution of all voter fraud cases. All of which, by the way, are terrific ideas. This kind of ties right into our next story. Because, number one, the number of senators that you have in the Senate, folks, will determine how easily you can get legislation passed, at least in the Senate, and how easily, and this is really important, you can confirm judges to the federal bench, judges to the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals, and judges like Mr. Kavanaugh, who's been nominated by Trump, to the United States Supreme Court. The Democrats, funded by Soros, they have an all points bulletin, a beating of the drums trying to stop this Kavanaugh nomination. And one of the things that they're saying is, quote, and this is Chuck Schumer, by the way, a president identified as an unindicted co-conspirator of a federal crime. Here we are with Mueller's stuff based on Hillary's purchase of Russian disinformation and compilation by a foreign agent against the law into a fake dossier rearing its ugly head. And you don't think this was like a grand conspiracy, folks? Wow. A president identified as an unindicted co-conspirator of a federal crime, an accusation made not by a political enemy, but by the closest of his confidants, is on the verge of making a lifetime appointment to the Supreme Court, a court that may someday soon determine the extent of the president's legal jeopardy. Unquote. That's Chuck Schumer. And the Dems have kind of picked up on that mantra, and of course several of the Rhino Never Trumpers too. I mean, you know, Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, Flaky Flake. And we don't know what John McCain's replacement's going to do. And by the way, I salute John McCain for his service to the country while in uniform, for the pain he endured over there as a captive in Hanoi during the Vietnam War. But I do not salute him whatsoever for his acts and lack of acts of the last 10 years. The guy was pathetic. Pathetic. And I think Trump's treatment of his boxes was just right. And by boxes, I mean his, shall we say, his post-passing requiem. And that includes flying the flag at half-mast for a couple days and then full-blown, full-mast from there on. I mean, McCain was not a god. This is the same guy that in 2012 or 2008 who ran against Barack Obama didn't have any problems whatsoever with calling this out and calling that out. And then, after the ambiance dissipates, shall we say, then we have a situation then we have a situation where people don't know really what's going on. And if people don't know what's going on, if you're not an informed electorate, this goes back to my little mantra on the press being either the greatest ally or the one of the greatest, if not the greatest, enemy domestically of the people, of the Constitution, of the Republic. let me tell you how successful, because everybody's saying Kavanaugh's going to get it and Mitch McConnell's going to ram him through and blah, blah, blah. Well, so last year, there was a guy by the name of Bounds that was nominated by, you know, great conservative judge. I mean, really knows his stuff. He was nominated by Trump to one of the Circuit Court of Appeals. Very important judgeship, and it's a lifetime appointment. So the guy's name is Ryan Bounds, and he was nominated by Trump to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, you know, the Looney Tunes left-wing court out there. Trump trying to get conservatives on that court to kind of temper their lunacy. I mean, it's just lunacy. Well, what happened is he was from the state of Washington, and his two senators, because of these archaic rules they have in the Senate, the two senators, Wyden and Merkley, from the state of Washington, didn't return their what's called blue sheets or blue slips, which are the slips that each committee member in the Senate Judiciary Committee that conducts the hearing of court nominees, that they had them, but could not, well, when I say had them, let me start over. They had the blue slips, and that's Wyden and Merkley. You know, they're all left, you know, I mean, they're like, they're leaning so far to the left, it's amazing. Their left ear doesn't touch the ground. And though they got the blue slips at the Senate Judiciary Committee meeting, and though they were supposed to return them, which is also Senate protocol, within X amount of hours, 24 to 48, they did not. And without those blue slips, because of the rules in the Senate, they could not move forward. The Senate Judiciary Committee could not move forward with a vote. They couldn't take a vote because they didn't have blue slips to continue Bounds on his way to the circuit court. They delayed Bounds' confirmation by 13 months. In the meantime, well-funded opposition research was going on in Bounds, and they found some theses he wrote as a college student. Remember, Barry hasn't even released his transcripts yet. But they found some stuff that Bounds wrote, and then they tried to brand him as a racist, when in fact, what he wrote was just the opposite. So he got branded a racist. Let me give an example. He was talking about groups that falsely claim to promote diversity. Quote, seem always to contribute more to restricting consciousness, aggravating intolerance, and pigeonholing cultural identities. Race-focused groups foster racethink, and the only way to rid our multicultural community of racethink is to rid it of these invidious factions. Now, you know, this is a fairly well-read guy, obviously. He knows his stuff. He's a thinker. And after he was delayed for 13 months, Wyden and Merkel finally returned their blue slips. In the meantime, the opposition research, which the Democrats were frantically trying to create against Bounds back in the day, had come up with this, you know, it's like finding somebody's coloring book in the dresser 10 years after he moved out of home. They came up with this. They stopped, basically just stopped the confirmation process, dead in his tracks for 13 months. Then they bring the blue slips in, and then they delayed it again with other tactics until finally the Democratic opposition research goons were able to convince the media, who's their buddy anyway, that this whole confirmation was actually the confirmation of a racist. Now, how you can take his words, which seem to be very inclusive and even-handed toward all racist creeds, colors, you name it, and turn that into racist, I don't know, but they did. And they did it successfully. And in fact, some of the Rhino Republicans got scared because Republicans, you know, not all, but many Republicans are just cowards. That's what they are. Although a cowardly Republican is still better than an alt-left Democrat. So, anyway, the Bounds nomination was withdrawn by Mitch McConnell like hours before the vote because he didn't have the votes be confirmed. And he never was confirmed. Never was confirmed. So if you think Kavanaugh is a slam dunk, if that's what you've been hearing, he ain't a slam dunk. And what you need to do is you need to send an email, two lines, you know. I strongly support Judge Kavanaugh for the Supreme Court, and I insist that you do too, Senator Blank, whatever the guy's name is or the gal's name is from your state. Do it. It takes you exactly 3 seconds to type up those two sentences and hit send. Do it. The squeaky wheel gets the grease in politics, folks. As you can see, the alt-left wing of the Democratic Party, which is a left-leaning, horrible party anyway, they've figured all this out. Quite well, I might add. Quite well. Which brings me to some of the things that will be at risk if you don't vote. And you don't get your friends to vote. They're friends of friends to vote. And the friends of the friends of the friends to vote. And if you don't send a little money at some of these candidates or PACs or whatever, it doesn't have to be a lot, particularly if you do one of these matching deals. But get some skin in the game, folks. This is your life, your liberty, and your property. Speaking of which, is a quick diversion, South Africa, after several heated gun battles when they tried to take land without compensation from non-black farmers, has ceased all confiscation of lands. Well, God, I hate to clue everybody this. The bottom line is that all of the South African edicts, the changes in the Constitution allowing them to take land without due consideration, due process, you name it. I mean, it's totally alt-left totalitarian. I mean, it's the seizure of private property by the government. And then the redistribution of that property to the government's closest constituents. It reeks to high heaven. Oh, I mean, just talking about this, I got to tell you, annoyed is not a strong enough term. It's just not a strong enough term. So what South Africa has done instead, and by the way, the story is not being covered by the mainstream media, like, almost at all. You know, they have their own spin on it. Like, you know, this is payback and it's good and all this kind of stuff. South Africa has stopped taking the lands after a bunch of gun battles, people getting killed, etc. And instead, they've taken a hiatus from stealing your land. Now they want to take your guns. That's right. Now they want gun control. Which is exactly, folks, why we don't want gun control. Now, we all know why South Africa is taking the guns before taking any more land, particularly since there's been gun battles over their attempted improper takings. Folks, you think about that in the context of this upcoming election. We're getting there pretty quick. And then we have the illegal aliens voting, and we have the voting machine problems, and we have all that stuff. And we have learned in the last week that Google is, in fact, manipulating all sorts of things when it comes to conservatives. PragerU, with 3 million followers, when they do a post on Facebook now, they get 2 replies. They used to get tens of thousands. PragerU is a, I wouldn't say alt-right, but a right-leaning, certainly right side of the fence, kind of online educational platform. And we find out that China is doing a ranking system. It's this scary. Using American technology and in concert with Google and the rest of the creeps. And they're going to rank and rate every single one of their 1.4 billion person population as 4 or 5 colors. And one color is going to be you're like A-OK, you're a friend of the state. And then one color is going to be, you know, you kind of think for yourself, and you really don't add anything here, and, you know, your thoughts about everything is tainted by social media. I mean, there's no way that any of us who are spend any time, it could be 10 minutes a day, on social media, your thoughts are not impacted in some little way, shape, or form, either overtly, covertly, subliminally, or consciously. And these tech giants have run amok. And the 1.4 billion people in China, with their social, friendly to the government ranking, like one, you're not so friendly, you get shipped off to a prison camp. The Chinese already have a million people in hard labor prison camps because they're politically dissident. Or other stuff happens to you. Whereas if you're a friend of the state, you get the cushy apartment, the cushy job. I mean, it is so corrupt. And I think they're going to try and get the same system going here, which we should hotly resist. Now, if you don't vote, and your friends don't vote, and the friends of your friends don't vote, then you will see dramatic changes to your Second Amendment rights, folks. You will see nothing happen on the borders. You will see ever-increasing flow of illegal aliens and ever-increasing transformation of the United States. There's a bunch of Dems now calling for the voting age to be lowered to 16. Well, because younger voters are everybody's as good as illegal aliens. I mean, they're all going to vote Democratic, idealistic, pie-in-the-sky type stuff. And then we have the threats to the First Amendment. I also talked about that today. You have the press, and in concert with the tech giants, and in concert with the progressives, shutting down every type of speech, every type of communication by viewpoints which are not theirs. I gave you the example of PragerU on Facebook. The president of Google, the president of Twitter last week, went on several shows and freely admitted that Twitter has a definite left bias and definitely screws with the tweets of folks who aren't considered alt-left. The Fourth Amendment, your freedom of religion, private property. I brought you stories on the reparations, quote-unquote, that South Africa is implementing. Now, I mean, now they're going to take the guns since people are fighting back. Gee, big surprise. And all that stuff is true stuff, folks. It's going on right now on the planet. And then you have taxation. Democrats want to raise your taxes, not lower them. You have military spending. Democrats aren't going to go for beefing up the military. I mean, just look at Obama's acts and lack of acts. Trade. You know, the fact that Donald Trump is getting the economy to roll, making great trade deals, the Democrats don't like that. They look at it in one way only, and that is it's just difficult for them to, it's difficult for them to get traction, shall we say, on any of this stuff. Because they, and by traction on this stuff, I mean, it's impossible for them to support any policy of Trump's that is successful, even if that success is for the deplorables, for Mr. and Mrs. Middle America, because progressives don't care about Mr. and Mrs. Progressive stuff. They only care about their ideological stuff. Then we have the investigations that are ongoing, however paltry they may be, into all the felonies by Comey and Strzok and you name it. Hillary, Obama, Rice. I mean, the list is endless. Then we have the equal application of the rule of law. If the Democrats get in, you can pretty much kiss your chances of a prosecution being brought against Hillary or any of these other treasonous scumbags. And boy, they are. I don't like using that word, but that is what they are. And we may never get to the truth of what really happened, who knew what and did what to whom when. Truth. But I think we need to if we're going to move forward, because I can't trust. I mean, if you follow this stuff at all, then you come to a point where you don't trust about anything you hear. You go out and verify it for yourself. And when you see such lopsided justice, then it undermines your faith in the entire system, which, by the way, is one of the goals of the progressive. I mean, not only do they want to win at any cost, in any way they can, including cheating, but every win kind of breaks down the barrier between you and the next event, if you know what I'm saying. It gives you momentum. The other thing that you won't see if you don't get out and vote is you won't see any accountability in government. You won't see any dismantling of the deep state. You won't see any cutting back of the Western state. Planned Parenthood, if you're on the right to life bandwagon, good for you. But Planned Parenthood, getting that defunded, forget it. Not going to happen. The FBI and the DOJ had several people up on one of the Western rivers in the last month or so. And they found some stuff that led to a Supreme Court case. And the Supreme Court case ruled, fortunately, in favor of landowners. Huge ruling. Huge ruling. That Supreme Court, folks, will be completely affected by whether or not Kavanaugh gets confirmed. So you can see it's all full circle. And Kavanaugh is not going to be confirmed if the Democrats get control of the House, or highly likely not to be confirmed if they get control of the House. And he sure won't get confirmed if they get control of the Senate. And the only thing that stands between you, what Trump's getting done, and the benefits that you derive from what he's getting done, despite, like, enemies from every corner of the globe, what he's getting done is phenomenal. Doubly phenomenal given the headwinds that have been placed in front of him, like on and on and on and on. So, those are just some of the things, folks. Terror reporting, international relations, Make America Great Again, America First policies, his dealings with, you know, heads of states from five different continents now. There's a million things on this ballot, and you need to get people motivated to vote them. And I don't think we have time for my story. No, we don't. I don't think we have time for my story. So I'm going to save for next week and give you two stories. How's that? But I will give you a little tickler. It has to do with me, a thin strip of carpet, in a place far, far away, in a galaxy long, long ago. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Get involved, folks. Stand up. Put some skin in the game. Both time skin and shall we say, cleanup stuff. You know what they said in the Cool Hand Luke movie, right? Get your mind right. We all have to get our minds right over this election. And if they happen to have something, if there's some piece of information out there which comes your way and you doubt it, verify it. You have a stark example over the last week of CNN running with basically a lie that Lonnie Davis told him confidentially and then not even correcting it as of this date. It's outrageous. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Get involved. Stand up. This is your country, your freedoms, and the freedoms, the safety, and security of everyone who's close to you now, and everyone who will, shall we say, evolve from your nucleus family in the future. It's a huge deal. Have a great week.
Please remember, if you've missed any shows, just click on Show Archive and you'll find all of his shows. We look forward to seeing you here again next week for another episode of Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side.